We would like to welcome everyone to our special Children's Sabbath celebration. Everyone is welcome to take your seats once again. Kindly be seated. We have looked forward to this for a couple of months, and the children have been practicing, and we've really been putting some work into this, and the day has finally come. We're happy to have everyone who is visiting with us today, coming from near and far, and we're looking forward to hearing some special songs and words and prayers from our young people. We will proceed in our service, but I need to make a couple of announcements. First of all, we'd like to welcome anyone who would like to stay after the service today for fellowship dinner. We'll be downstairs. Please join us. Doesn't matter if you brought food or not, we have enough for everyone. We also have an opportunity for ministry a week from tomorrow. A brother by the name of Elmer Jordan. Elmer Jordan was not a member of our congregation, but he has family members who are and were members of our congregation here, and Elmer Jordan has passed away. And the church has been asked to do the funeral service for Elmer, and so that's going to happen on Sunday the 17th at 2:30 in the afternoon right here at the church. Sunday the 17th at 2:30 in the afternoon right here at the church, and I am told that the family of Elmer and Elmer were very well connected, and that this is likely to be a large funeral. So this is going to be a great opportunity to have a ministry to his family, and we invite everyone to come and participate with that. We want to go ahead and go into our service. I'll be announcing some of the things as they go along. Some of them, everyone knows, we've been rehearsing. We'll be able to go on without an announcement, some of the items. But Carolina is going to bring us the invocation, and that will be followed by the first song that they're going to be singing, which is Apple Red Happiness. Has anybody ever heard of that one? Apple Red Happiness, all right? Today is going to be your chance to hear that song, and I believe you'll be able to sing along with the words on the screen. So please join in. If you know the song, just join in the first time around, but the songs will be sung a couple of times each, so listen the first half and then join in the second time we go through the song, and we'd like to invite Caroline to come now.
Our Father in heaven, thank you for this Sabbath day. Thank you for the birds and the animals, the flowers and the trees, the lakes and the streams, the sun that rises and sets over them each day. Thank you for creating everything that we see. Thank you for the life we live and for making each person different. Thank you for Jesus who died for us so that we can be saved. What an amazing God you are. Bless our Kids Day worship service and everyone here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our offering today is for Seventh-day Adventist TV Ministries. Please give something to this offering so that people that watch TV will learn about Jesus. Dear Jesus, bless this offering so more and more people will learn about you. Amen. Would there be any volunteers that would like to do the lamb's offering?
Now, I have our children's story that will be brought to us by Valentina, and I have to set something up for just a second. Valentina is ready to bring the children's story to us at this time.
I would like to tell you a story about some funny monkeys. At a zoo in another country, there was a monkey cage near a rat cage. The monkeys were always very curious about the rats. One day, the zookeeper decided to put one of the rats into the monkey cage to see what they would do. The monkeys screamed with delight when the rat came into their cage. They tried to make friends with the rat. At first, the rat was afraid of the monkeys and ran away from the monkeys. But when he saw that they did not hurt him, he was not afraid of them anymore. He even let them hold him as much as they wanted. This they did a lot, stroking his white fur, holding him in their arms. They gave him part of their food. They even gave him the best pieces. One day, the oldest monkey had an idea. He was holding the rat in his arms, and he put the rat on the floor. He very carefully sat on the rat. The rat did not move and did not seem to mind being used as a cushion. The monkey thought this was a new way to use a friend. The monkey sat there on the rat. The monkey had a big grin on his face, looking around, chattering with delight over the soft cushion he had found. After sitting there for a while, he got up so the other monkeys could try the new cushion he had found. They were as pleased as he was. From that time on, the rat was used as a cushion every day and never objected at all. The lesson of this story is that you can take more pressure than you think. Sometimes it feels like other people are sitting on us, but we have God's strength to keep us from being crushed. Another lesson of this story is that sometimes our friends put pressure on us, but they do not mean any harm. And the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Amen.
Our next part of our program, and they have two songs they are going to bring to us. So we'd like to invite all the cradle rollers to come on up, and Christopher, come on up, and they're going to sing for us now. We've come to the time of our prayer for our service. We're going to be having the Lord's Prayer with the word trespasses. And we would invite everyone to join in with this. Sarah Hoover is going to be leading out in the Lord's Prayer. Those who would like to kneel are welcome to kneel, or you can remain seated, whichever one. And Sarah will lead us in the Lord's Prayer.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen.
Yeah.
The scripture reading today is found in Matthew 19:13-15. In the Pew Bible, it is on page 954. Matthew 19:13-15. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed from there.
The sermon is going to be brought to us by three, Carolina, Kimbrough, Tiana Escobar, and Valentina. They will each have a part in this. And the sermon, while they get their microphones on, I'll give them a minute to do that. The sermon is a creative presentation of a truth that we find in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to read this passage of scripture that the sermon is based on. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" The snake in the apple tree.
Once upon a time, a snake lived in an apple tree. This was a nice, friendly creature. He gave away apples for free. In fact, that's about all he ever did. Every day, he gave away free fruit to anyone who would take it.
People would come back and forth on the road beside the apple tree on their way to and fro the village. When they would pass by, the snake would call out to them in his most pleasing tones.
Hello there, friends. How would you like a nice, crisp, juicy apple? I've saved the best to grow on my tree for you.
Most people took advantage of this bargain and went their way, munching as they walked along.
Little did anyone know, but the snake was not as nice a creature as he pretended to be. The fact was, he bit each apple and injected it with poison before offering it to a passerby.
In the village where the road led lived the old doctor and his wife and son. The old doctor was white-haired and wise and well-loved by the people of the village.
If anyone was sick, they would go to the old doctor. If they were too poor to pay, he would treat them free of charge.
If a person had a problem, they would go to the old doctor. It seemed his listening ear and wise advice always helped them find an answer.
One day, the old doctor was in his clinic. He looked out through the open doorway and noticed a stranger coming in through the gate that led into the village. The man staggered up the street and then collapsed right in front of the doctor's clinic.
The old doctor called to his son, and together they carried the stricken stranger inside. The old doctor, being very wise in such things, had soon revived the traveler enough for the man to sit up and tell of a snake who had given him an apple from the tree beside the road leading into the village.
That very day, the old doctor closed the door of his clinic and started up the road that led to the apple tree.
Under his arm, he carried a lettered board.
He held a hammer in his hand.
Nails jiggled in his pocket.
When the old doctor came to the tree, he nailed the board, which was a sign, on its trunk, right at eye level, facing the road. Then he stepped back to read.
Poisonous apples, don't eat. Watch out for the snake.
That should do nicely, he thought to himself. Then he turned and went back to the village to take care of his patients.
Soon people began passing by the snake's tree. As they came near, the snake began calling out to them as usual.
Hello there, friends. How would you like a nice, crisp, juicy bit of the most...
But the sign says they are poisonous, interrupted a woman who paused to listen.
Oh, the sign, said the snake. That sign was put up by the old doctor who lives in the village. You see, he thinks this is his apple tree, and he doesn't want anyone to eat from it. Poisonous apples? These apples are perfectly harmless, he said to the crowd who had stopped to listen. Take one, eat now. Take two or three more for later, or to share with your friends.
So the people disregarded the doctor's sign and accepted the apples from the snake. Soon, more people were eating them than before the sign appeared.
Fathers came in from the forests and fields around the village, would stop by the snake's tree. There they would fill their empty lunch boxes and baskets with apples. They took them home to the village.
Mothers made them into apple pie, apple sauce, apple strudel, apple tarts, apple dumplings.
Grandpas got out ancient cider presses and squeezed gallons of cider for a delightfully refreshing treat.
The children ate them fresh in their lunches.
And soon, everyone in the village was sick.
The people went to the old doctor, as they always did when they were ill. But after he examined them and recognized the symptoms, he asked them,
"Have you been eating apples from the tree beside the road that leads into our village?"
"Yes," the people admitted. They had been eating apples from the tree.
"Didn't you read the warning sign?" asked the old doctor.
They had read the sign, the villagers admitted, But the snake says the apples are harmless, they told the old doctor.
Those apples are poisonous, the doctor said. They are what is making you sick. And for the poison in the apples, I have no antidote, no medicine. I'm sorry, but I cannot help you. But from now on, don't eat any more apples.
And then he sadly sent them away.
There was just one problem. The apples were habit-forming. The people couldn't stop eating them. The next time they went to the tree, they told the snake what the old doctor had said.
The doctor says it is these apples you give to us that is causing all the sickness in our village, they told the snake as they greedily sized apples from the tree and stuffed them into their baskets. He says, we shouldn't eat them anymore.
Oh, hissed the snake. I see that old senile doctor has been stirring up trouble again. If you want to know what is making you sick, I'll tell you. It's the doctor's medicine. That old man is surely insane and is likely to be dangerous. Poisonous apples? Bah! There is no such thing. Hear, my people, the snake said to the crowd who had gathered at the tree. Take as many apples as you can carry. An apple a day keeps the doctor away, you know.
And so it went. Things grew worse and worse in the village. Fathers no longer went to their work in the forest and fields. They only had time to go to the snake's tree for boxes and bags of more apples.
Mothers who had once cared for their families now spent their time making rich, apple-filled pastries to rival those prepared by other housewives.
Children who once played happily together now quarreled and fight.
People even began to die. At first, it was the very old and the very young, but soon funerals became the most common social gathering until people quit caring and no longer ever attended.
The doctor's son often walked among the villagers in those days. Wherever he went, he sought to relieve the suffering caused by the snake's apples.
But there was so little he could do.
Often the people cursed him and his father and his mother for the misery that had come upon the village. His most exhausting efforts were as futile as sweeping water uphill. He saw that soon the village would be nothing more than a graveyard, with no one left to bury the dead.
One evening, the doctor's son returned from his work among the villagers later than usual. He came into the clinic, where his father sat at a table, working with his medicines. He sat on the hard edge of a bench, with his face in his hands. For long minutes, his shoulders shook as he sobbed. Finally, he raised his tear-stained face to his father.
Father, he cried, is there nothing that can save the villagers? They are born in pain. They live their lives in futility. Then they die, wretched and hopeless. Is there nothing we can do to save them?
The old doctor bowed his silvered head for a long moment, then rose to his feet to face his son. Yes, my son, there is one thing that can save the village. I would have told you about it before this, but I feared for you. But now I see your life is bound up with the life of the villagers, and so it must be.
Darkness danced and swirled her wild skirts through the cold, cobbled streets outside as the doctor explained the great plan to the son.
The next morning, at daybreak, the doctor's son rose. After a quick breakfast prepared by his mother, he went to the woodshed that stood just behind the clinic. There he wrestled the axe from the tough wood of the chopping block.
He kissed his mother goodbye.
He shook hands with his father.
Then he started out through the village gate on the road that led to the snake's apples tree.
That morning, the snake was high in his tree. As he looked toward the village, he saw the doctor's son coming toward him. Here was a person who had never eaten an apple from his tree. He would have to make special preparations.
The snake slithered up to the highest branch on his tree and picked the three biggest, juiciest apples ever to grow on his tree.
He bit each apple carefully beside the stem where it wouldn't show.
He polished them with his tail.
He carefully balanced them on top of the sign.
Then he wrapped himself around a nearby branch to await the approach of the sun.
The doctor's son came striding up the road toward the snake's tree.
The axe was over his shoulder. He whistled a tune as he walked along. As he neared the tree, the snake called out to him in his most pleasing tones.
Hello there, young man. You look famished this morning. How would you like a nice, crisp, juicy bite of the most magnificent, delicious, mouth-watering apples in the world? I've saved the finest three to grow on my tree just for such a handsome and wise young gentleman as yourself.
No, thank you, replied the son. I've already eaten my breakfast. Eating in between meals would spoil my dinner. Besides, the sign says that your apples are poisonous. I have work to do today. Until it is finished, I have no time for nothing else. Good time. Good day, serpent.
And with these words, the doctor's son unshouldered his axe and began chopping at the trunk of the snake's tree. The snake didn't know what to think of this turn of events. He had never imagined someone would chop down his tree. He clung tightly to his branch and watched in horror and rage as chips of apple tree wood flew in every direction. Soon the ground beneath the tree was covered with them.
The sun had nearly chopped through the thick trunk of the snake's tree. By the time the serpent recovered enough to plan for his last evil deed. As the doctor's son drew back the heavy axe head for the final blow that would fall the tree, the snake slithered down to this nearest branch and drew back his head.
Suddenly, he struck with double daggers of venom fully extended. His fangs pierced the sun's unprotected side.
The doctor's son drove the final blow that would fall the tree home with a hoarse cry of pain.
The tree stood still for a long moment.
Then it toppled and crashed to the ground in a rolling hail of dislodged apples.
It fell upon the snake. Only his tail writhed from beneath its trunk.
But the doctor's son was in agony. He dropped the axe beside the stump, clutched his side, and began staggering down the road that led to the village.
The old doctor and his wife were watching the gate and ran to meet their wounded son.
They helped him back to the clinic and lay him on a bed.
They made him as comfortable as they could and waited in silence for the end.
There was nothing more they could do. There was no antidote, no medicine for the snake's poison.
And the son had received a full dose of the burning venom.
3 days and nights slowly passed as the poison of the snake worked its will in the body of the son. Sometimes he cried out as the fevers raged through his body. Other times he lay so quietly it seemed as if he was already dead.
Finally, on the third morning, just as the sun rose above the hill behind the village, the doctor's son sat up and called out to his father and mother, who had lain down on their bed in the next room.
They rose and came quickly. When the old doctor saw his son was getting better, he was overjoyed.
"My son," he cried, "you have survived the venom of the snake. We can use your blood to make an antidote and a medicine that will save the village."
So while the doctor drew blood from the son and concocted a whole barrel full of bad apple pills, the mother went through all the streets. On every lamppost and board fence, she placed long announcements. The announcements read,
"A medicine for the poison of the apples has been made from the blood of the doctor's son. Anyone who wishes may come to the clinic and receive it free of charge."
Some people came,
but not many.
Those who came and received the medicine were cured of the poison of the apples. They were so grateful that they offered the doctor and his wife and son money and rich gifts, but the old doctor only waved them aside.
"My children," he said, "we have no need of these things." Then he looked upon their number. "Why are there so few of you?" he asked. "Even now I can hear those dying in our village for lack of this life, so dearly bought. Why have they not come?"
A little child spoke first. When I asked my playmates to come with me today, they refused. They said they wished to eat of the snake's apples for a while first. They promised they would come another day, maybe.
A woman spoke. The wives refused to come without their husbands. The husbands refused to come without their wives, and the children cannot find their way alone.
A man spoke. Many in our village have believed the snake's lies about you. They cursed you and your wife and your son for all the misery that has come upon our village. Their thoughts of you are filled with hatred and fear. They refuse to come near.
Others spoke. They told of those who had claimed they were well, speaking confidently with bits of unswallowed apples still in their mouths.
They told of others who had already tried a multitude of cures offered by quacks and sly-eyed messiahs had now lost all hope.
They told of those who were too weak to walk even a short distance to the clinic to receive the medicine.
In the end, the group stood in silence as the cries of the dying filled the room with shadows.
Then the doctor's son smiled. He motioned to the group who had already received the medicine to follow him. He led them into the back room of the clinic. There, where the barrel of bad apple pills stood, nearly full, he said to them,
"Come, fill your hands, your pockets, your skirts. Take my life to those who are dying and hurt. Give them to your families, the strangers, your friends. Freely I have given to you, freely give to them."
Who is this snake in the tree who gave away poisonous apples?
Satan.
Yes, the snake is the devil. Who is the old doctor?
God.
Correct. The old doctor is God the Father. Who is the doctor's son? Yes, the doctor's son is Jesus.
Amen.
Who is the doctor's wife? Yes, the doctor's son is the church or the Holy Spirit. Who are the villagers? Right, the villagers are all of us. What is the sign warning the people not to eat the apples? Yes, the sign is the Ten Commandments or the Bible. What were the three biggest apples that the snake offered to the doctor's son? Yes, the three biggest apples were the three temptations. When did the doctor's son chop down the snake's tree?
On the cross when Jesus died.
Yes, he chopped down the snake's tree when Jesus died for our sins. Did those 3 days happen when the doctor's son had the snake's deadly venom in his body? Yes, it was when Jesus was in the grave. What were the bad apple pills? Yes, the bad apple pills were believing in Jesus.
Amen.
I'd like to see all the children that are here. Would you raise your hands, the young children that are with us today? I see several over here. And we'll look forward next time to have more kids. Next time we do Children's Day, see, we're glad to have you here. And we're all children of God. So I'll join in praising, thanking God together for all of his blessings. And the Bible says, out of the mouths of children, God has perfected praise. We've been able to be blessed by that today. Tiana will be having our benediction, and then you can shake hands with the kids as you go out today. Please remember to join us for our fellowship meal downstairs.
But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to be to him now and forever. Amen.